Translation. The Krishna consciousness movement will inundate the entire world and drown everyone, whether one be a gentleman, a rogue, or even lame, invalid, or blind. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Here again, it may be emphasized that although jealous rascals protest that Europeans and Americans cannot be given the sacred thread or sannyas, there is no need even to consider that one is a gentleman or a rogue, because this is a spiritual movement which is not concerned with the external body of skin and bones. Because it is being properly conducted under the guidance of the Panchatattva, strictly following in the regulative principles, it has nothing to do with external impediments. Omagyanti mirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam jena tasmai shri guruve namaha. Shri Chaitanya manobhishtam stapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa kadamayam dadati svabhadanti. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Pando Jigadpate, Gopisha Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namostute, Tapta Kanchana Gorangi, Radhe Vrindavanishvari, Rishavanu Sute Devi, Ramami Hari Priye, Manchakalpa Tarubhyascha, Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadha Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. So this is the basis of our philosophy, that we don't judge by externals. And Prabhupada is saying here how doesn't matter what condition of life a person is in, that he can become Vaishnavas, especially in the human form of life. So it's, I actually wish that it was the Europeans and Americans who really started this movement in the Western countries. Prabhupada had to leave India. He came to America and he was at Boston Pier Harbor, and Captain Pandya took him ashore for his first taste of Western life. And immediately after viewing the situation for a few hours, he came back and he wrote a poem, Marking Bhagavat Dham, preaching Krishna consciousness in the Western world. And it wasn't optimistic. Initially it wasn't optimistic. He was saying, "My dear Lord Krishna, why have you brought me here? This Western civilization, they're absorbed in passionate ignorance. How well do you understand this message of Krishna consciousness?" But then the optimism started to rise. But you are the ultimate mystic. Mystic, he needs mystic power to. And he says, "So therefore you can fulfill the purport of my name, Bhaktivedanta, devotional service, and give me the power to and intelligence to make this available to the Western world. So make me a puppet in your hands." So this is why it's not on the bodily concept. When one, no matter what situation one's in, when he surrenders to Krishna proportionately, then Krishna takes care. Yada yada hi dharmasya. What is it? Yayatamam svadyante tamstateva bhajanmiham. Mamovatmana vartante manusha parthasava vashaha. As we surrender, then we become empowered. And so this external designation is not really a consideration. But in India, Prabhupada had so much problem. He says, we're never a hero on our own territory, is that right? In our home ground. Has anybody heard that? You know, people take you for granted. And so they took Prabhupada for granted. They took their own philosophy for granted. You know, even his wife, she took him for granted. A big mistake. One day, Prabhupada said, look, he just, you know, she wasn't towing the line. He says, you'll have to either have me or your tea biscuits. And she thought for herself, well, I'll just have to take the tea biscuits. And that's what she was left with, the tea biscuits. Prabhupada left that situation. And then he started to preach. But he didn't have it easy. He wanted his countrymen, Prabhupada said the Indians are what? They're that far away from Krishna consciousness. Most of them have some Krishna consciousness. It just needs a little bit of dust clearing away and then it comes manifest. But that little bit of covering was preventing them from giving Prabhupada. He just asked for one son. He went to many of his friends and senior people. Please give me just one son. And then I can start this Hare Krishna movement. He was expecting that, you know, Bharata Bhumati Haila Manasi Janmaja, Janma Sakati Karakara, Para Upaka, that, you know, this movement is going to start from India, so make Indian devotees, and then we can start travelling. But actually that wasn't to be. Nobody would surrender one son. And so eventually he realised that now I'm going to have to go on my own. So he had his Bhagavatams made up, and everybody, he didn't get any encouragement. Everybody's telling him, you'll die, Swamiji, over there. You need to wear coat and pant, as Prabhupada puts it. But Prabhupada didn't have any of it. He kept his standard, and he came to the West. And it was the people he preached to, if Prabhupada had took this line of thinking that they're not qualified, which they weren't qualified, nobody's really qualified in this age of Kali, especially in the Western world. But Prabhupada would try to preach to the upper class. He was given that opportunity by Lord Krishna to preach in the, what was it, that Swami? No. When Prabhupada met in New York, he lived at Dr. Mishra's ashram. And he had a chance. Dr. Mishra, you know, he knew, preach to the rich, just give them a mantra and a donation, and that's how we can exist. And so Prabhupada had that opportunity. To some degree, when Dr. Mishra heard Prabhupada speak, he immediately said, don't speak anymore. Prabhupada wanted to speak Vaishnava philosophy. And so then this fell through. He had his typewriters stolen. And then eventually he had to move into the most abominable situation. In fact, one electrician in Prabhupada's apartment at that time, he said, where are you moving to, Swamiji? So I'm moving to, what was it? The Bowery. He said, oh, the Bowery. He says, don't go there, Swamiji. That's the pits. And it was. We can't imagine how degraded it is. And then there was many Bohemians. What's a Bohemian? It means that they come from a well-to-do background and they don't have to work for a living. So they fell out, they dropped out of society and they become hippies. And so Prabhupada started his movement in a very low-class situation with totally unqualified people. So, you know, you would think that when he went back, that people would be a little bit, what? These are devotees. We live in India and our own kinsmen, they find it difficult to follow these principles. Are these people following the principles? Are they devotees? You can understand the way they felt. And so this was the situation with Prabhupada. And so Prabhupada's mood was to reach out, not to see people as being unqualified. Far too often, we limit ourselves by seeing that this class of person is unqualified, so I'll try with this class of person. Is that right? There's a reason for it, many reasons. But Prabhupada didn't have that vision. And he said to one senior devotee, he was telling me a few weeks ago, he was saying that he was one of, he met and was with Prabhupada a lot in his time in England. He said Prabhupada told him that it doesn't matter what a person looks like, what his habits are. He says if he's prepared to live in a temple and follow the four regulative principles, let him in. And he said he had some real tests. Some people, you know, they were scratching their head. They'd been living in the wrong places, and they got what they call lodgers. They'd got, you know what a lodger is? And so he had to clean them up and shave them up and like that. Quite a few devotees like that. And some of them, they're now leading devotees in this movement. You wouldn't believe it. And so we should be careful. We shouldn't think that anybody's limited by the outward dress. And so how do we recognize a devotee, a sadhu? What are the qualifications? Anybody know from the Bhagavatam? Eh? Titiksha. Tolerance, karuna, mercy. What else? He's got no enemies. And he's friends of everyone. What else? He has no enemies. He's friends of everyone. He abides by religious principles. He's the dawn with all bhushana, all, what they call it, good qualities. And so this is how we see. Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, one cannot rubber stamp a sadhu. A sadhu is, according to Bhagavad Gita, sadhu, holy man, is a man in Krishna consciousness. And a person who's not in Krishna consciousness cannot see that. A person may appear to be irreligious, but if he has the qualification of Krishna consciousness, wholly and fully, he's to be understood to be a sadhu. What are all those symptoms? How do we recognize? A little bit of thinking. What does Bhagavad Gita say? How do we know one who's transcendental? How does he speak? First one. How does he speak? Does he speak all nonsense? No, he speaks about Krishna. What is his language? What does that mean? Is it foul language? Is it foreign language? No, it means that when he's put into difficulty, he doesn't react in an adverse way. He's not angry or disturbed due to, you know, disturbances to his particular situation. He speaks, he's able to maintain his equilibrium. Why? Because he's not on the bodily platform. We're on the bodily platform here, European and American devotees. And then what else? How does he sit? Cross-legged on one side. Hey, that's right, sadhus, they sit like this, don't they? No, it means that it's like a toy, that when there's reason for disturbances, when the sense gratification comes, he doesn't go for it. And how does he walk? There's quite a few verses on how he walks. What's the difference between sitting and walking? It means in his... when he's going through the world, he comes up with certain circumstances. How does he deal with those adversaries, difficulties, positive things, negative things? It's like he says that one who is in Krishna consciousness, he doesn't see like a materialist. This is material vision, seeing externals and then judging on externals. He says he sees the opposite. What does a materialistic person see? In the night of the materialistic person, a devotee is awake, is in self-realization. And when the devotee is asleep, All the materialists are awake. We see that when I went to London for a couple of days. You know, you go into the temple at 4 o'clock in the morning and people are just starting the night out or in the middle of the night out. So Brahmananda asked Prabhupada that. He said, what does this verse mean, Prabhupada? He says, when you take rest, everybody else is enjoying. And when you get up, everybody else is going to bed. So it's more than that, actually. It's consciousness. We're conscious. We're on the spiritual platform. We're not on the material platform. And that's what it's saying here. So this is one quality. This is main quality of a sadhu. What his activities are, both internally and externally. Prabhupada said it's easy to be a sadhu. He said, one devotee asked him, what do we need to be a pure devotee? Prabhupada said, it's very easy. He said, to the degree you follow my instructions, to that degree you're a pure devotee. Obviously there's different degrees of pure devotee, but this is the initial understanding. Prabhupada was very liberal in giving assessment of a pure devotee. I'll just read what Prabhupada says. So, apichet sudhiracharo. If somebody says, these devotees, these Americans and European devotees, we accept as sadhu, but they have got some bad habits. Suppose one sees, according to the European-American custom, after eating, they do not wash hands. I said this happened to Tamil Krishna Goswami. He went to the life member's house and Prabhupada was there. Maybe Prabhupada wasn't there, but no, he wasn't there. Afterwards, when Prabhupada left, he started doing this program in India for a while. And what did he do? When he came out of the toilet, he closed the door with his left hand. And the life member kicked him out. So this is like externals personified. If we're on that platform, we have to rethink, wait, what am I looking for? So that is they are not practiced that way. So similarly, if I see here is an American devotee or a European devotee, he ate but he did not wash his hands, so he's not yet perfect. No, Krishna says, no apichet sudaracharo. This is a small fault that he has not washed his hands, but we should not neglect to wash our hands. If by mistake, if by forgetfulness, I do that, that is excuse, but not that because it is excuse we shall follow. We shall neglect the rules and regulations. But Krishna says that even if he is sudaracharo, his behavior is not up to standard, still he is sadhu. Still, sadhu eva samantavya. He should be taken and accepted as sadhu. Because why? Because he has taken to Krishna consciousness and takes the worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. Without any deviation, he is engaged in his service. That is qualification. That qualification makes him sadhu. It is not that by mistake he commits some mistake in his behavior. So we take from Shastra the line we should follow in this. Anybody think of any examples? There was a person who he wasn't. That's never a sadhu. But it's Jad Bharat. When he became Jad Bharat, he was dodging ants. When he was carrying the palanquin of King Rahuna, because he had a big physique, and the king's servant said, oh, this chap's just right, he'll be able to carry the palanquin. But he was on another platform. He was seeing all these living entities deserve to live as much as he did, so he was dodging the ants, and the palanquin was going like this, and the king, what's going on? And he started blaspheming him like anything. The air turned blue. And what did Jad Bharat do? He just started to preach Krishna consciousness. He didn't see this king as being his enemy. And this king started to realize, wait a minute, this is a sage. What he speaks, that first quality. And so this is very difficult when we're blasphemed or hurt not to react. But that's our standard, Vaishnav standard. Anybody else? Sanatan Goswami. Oh, you mean the Jagannath Puri? Oh, when he left the service of the. Go outside. Yeah. Yeah, this. Yeah, that's a good example. He just left his service in the service of the in West Bengal, hadn't he? The Hussein Shah, and he'd been going through the jungle, and so he became very dishevelled, and he'd grown a beard like a dervish, a Muslim. Now there's just a guy in a beard. Just bring him in. Externals only. Any more? Haridas Thakur. Yeah, he was from a Muslim birth. And so people would remember that. He can't be a Vaishnav. But he was the Namacharya. 300,000 names every day. I say Lord Brahma as well. In Bengal they say, if there's an argument, you don't know who I am. If somebody's blaspheming them, be careful, you don't know who I am. We shouldn't take it that way. We should take it the other way, actually. I know who I am. I know what I am. All right, so I was thinking of Ritrasura. You know, he was a huge demon. And yet Indra, he lost a heart in fighting. He had both his arms lopped off. And Indra, you know, he'd lost it. And Ritrasura, you can imagine you're fighting somebody who's trying to kill you, and you start preaching to him how he can kill you. He's not seen on the bodily platform, is he? Dadichi, Indra came to him and can we have your bones? Can we have? Well, I've got to die if you want my bones. He said, don't mind. He said, I'm sorry, I need this body. And Indra became agitated. He said, all right, you can have my bones. And he just died. So this is an extreme platform. Pundarik Vidyanidhi, another extreme the other way. You know, he's there, grapes. You know, soaked in jewellery, laid on a palanquin, everybody fanning him. And who was it? Gadadhar came in with Srivas, was it? Eh? Mukunda brought, and Gadadhar looked at him and thought, what a sahaja. He didn't say, oh, because he was a Vaishnava. We don't speak, but we think. And Mukunda could understand by his physiognomy that he didn't make much of this Vaishnava. Oh, yeah. Yes, so definitely this is not a Vaishnava. But then Mukunda spoke to him later and he realized his mistake. And so he actually became the disciple of the person he was blaspheming. That's happening, isn't it? The Western devotees, those who are advanced enough, they're starting to actually take disciples from all creeds. So that's seeing with knowledge. Seeing with knowledge, that's the point. So, you know, how do we get into this frame of mind where, you know, in India, they may have got into that frame of mind when they saw the Western devotees. That, you know, these can't be real Vaishnavs. It happened previously with this Jati Gosai and the smarter Brahmins. So how do we get, even as devotees, we never get into that mentality, do we? We always see everybody on the spiritual platform. We don't see higher and lower devotees. Come off it. We do. And so this is a big problem. How do we get into that mentality? What's the reasoning behind it? I was thinking that what enforces this attitude of higher and lower, even in Vaishnav circles? We may be able to talk to people who are convinced, and they'll actually bring this out in a conversation. Obviously, it's seen on the platform of duality. We've made that point. They're seen on externals only. So how does this come about? What's the root problem? Arjuna, when we act on the platform of duality, we're actually on the platform, it's actually called material thought. And material thought is described as being sinful, isn't it? Material activity. And so Arjuna in the battle of Kurukshetra, before the battle, he was saying, you know, even though I'm understanding what you're saying, why is it I'm impelled to do the wrong thing? To follow my original conditioned nature, in other words, like we do. And Krishna replied, he said, it's the desire within the heart. What Krishna says, actually, it's due to contact with the mode of passion. It's nothing to do with yours. It's contact with the mode of passion. The mode of passion is causing it. I'm being influenced by the mode of passion, Prabhu. But why are we being influenced by the mode of passion? It's because there's some desire in the heart. There's still some material desire to be Ishvara Hambogi. I am the enjoyer. I am the controller. That's deep in the heart. And this is bringing out this mentality of higher and lower. Ishvara Hambogi. And so, when we're on that platform, we're on the mode of... What do you say about the mode of passion in Bhagavad Gita, in the 18th chapter? What's one's knowledge like? It says, why do we see all the living entities? We see in every body a different person. There's only the body. And so this naturally we start thinking about differences in Vaishnavas. I saw it on the television. I went home 2 days ago and I did a program in Sheffield and I stayed at my mother's and there was a television program on. It was a football match and there was a bit of a rioting going off. And there was some racial discrimination. The crowd, they got this Nazi outlook. It was in Serbia, actually. And they were all skinheads in the crowd. And they were like, there were some coloured devotees playing for England. And they were mocking them. As if they're sub... Hey? What's he talking about? Did I? Sorry. Well, they may be, you don't know. They just need preaching to, that's all. They're all out there. Somebody got shaved heads. So. So what's the difference between us and them? We call them, yobos, skinheads. But if we think we're still in that yobo class, if we're thinking like that. So in the next verse, we see in the mode of goodness the soul. We overlook the body. We see the soul. So what arises from when we see in duality? What's the next thing that comes? Fear. Vayam dviti abhinivasata shat. In Srimad Bhagavatam. It says, when we see in duality, immediately we become fearful. So why? What would we be fearful of? There's two things I can immediately think of. This happened with the... in India, in Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur's time, Bhaktivinod, he saw that there was this, the Brahmins were ruling the roost. They call them Jatagosai as well. They kept it in the family, you know that, keep it in the family. And so they weren't allowing anybody to become a Brahmin unless they were born in a Brahmin caste, and you couldn't become a Vaishnav, maybe a low class Vaishnav, but you couldn't become a Brahmin. And you couldn't become a sannyasi. And you couldn't become an acharya. So they got it all taped up. There's no way in. It's all ours. Why? Two things come to mind. It's prestige, isn't it? Sometimes to keep our own prestige, we have to put other people down. Everybody like that's the most difficult thing to overcome in this world. When we're envious of somebody else and frightened that they may become our equals, it's due to our false prestige. So this was one of the cases. What does Prahlad Maharaj say about that? Anyway, we'll go on. What's the second type of fear? Another kind of fear that we're fearful of. Death. Does that make us fearful of other living entities? I don't know, it may be. They may come and kill us. The European and American Vaishnavas may. No. I was thinking that our maintenance, who's fearful of the maintenance? Who's completely convinced that I don't have to do anything? Krishna will take complete care of me. I can just go and lie out on the lawn out there and all my eatables will come. I mean, you've more chance out there than everywhere else. I mean, there are devotees inside. Well, you still might go without, I don't know. And if you went outside into Watford, you know, I don't think it'd be... Well, according to philosophy, we would be able to do that. I mean, the Python vow is not recommended for us. But, at that time, they were... they'd got the misconception that their livelihood depended on their deities. We keep this as a, you know, caste Goswami. We look after the deity. And then people come and they see the deity, don't they? And when they see the deity, ching, they're getting the livelihood. So they're seeing that the deity is my form of livelihood. Very subtle. What's the actual deity there for? The deity means that we dress the deity nicely so that people become inspired to become a devotee. Already those who are devotees become inspired to go out and make other devotees. Then when we're inspiring devotees, Krishna becomes pleased and then he sends all our necessities. Just preach, that's all Krishna says. What is it? Sarva dharma prichayam ham ekam sharanam vaja aham tam sarva pabebhyo moksha ismi masasha. He'll protect us from sinful reaction and also supply everything. But we forget, it's a subtle thing. When we are actually in the fruit, when we get into that mode of passion, we start thinking we have to maintain ourselves. The mentality is we have to do the needful, the externals, but Krishna's maintaining. There's no doubt that Krishna will maintain us. He's maintaining every living entity in the universe. You know, the amoebas and the all small animals, they don't know who Krishna is. But he's maintaining them with everything. We come to the platform of Vaishnav and we may not think that. And then we don't want to let anybody in on our patch. We have to share then. We're going to go without. Called using the deity as a nutcracker. What's that nutcracker mean? It means the then we can get the and eat. The deity becomes our source of sustenance. Here we are, how do we become free from this mentality? Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, O Arjuna, become transcendental to all these modes. We're talking about the mode of passion especially. A very dangerous mode of passion. You think so? It's like in between. You can go either way. In ignorance, you know, he's all right. No problem. He can't really do much more harm to himself. But in passion, you've got a chance. Passion's good in that it gets us more, it gets things going. You noticed in the movement, we have to be passionate and we have to be mobile and we have to be active. We have to be busy to get things going. That's good. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur said that I'll be very happy if I can raise one of my disciples to the mode of passion. It means that they weren't preaching actually. So mode of passion needed. But if we become over-absorbed in the mode of passion, then it can be difficult for us. We start seeing on this platform of different... Yeah, Krishna's saying... In his purport, Srila Prabhupada comments on Krishna's first mention of the three modes of material nature and summarizes the process of transcending the modes. As long as the material body exists, there are actions and reactions in the material modes. One has to learn tolerance in the face of dualities, such as happiness, distress, cold and warmth, and by tolerating such dualities become free from anxieties regarding gain and safety. This transcendental position is achieved in full Krishna consciousness when one is fully dependent on the goodwill of the Lord. How do we become free from passion and ignorance? Read the Bhagavatam. It does say in the Bhagavatam, it says that it gives there's three nice verses together. It says that we're in this frame of mind. Yayo samohitam jivan atmanam sri gudatmakam paropimanyate natha tatripam chavipajate. That although we're transcendental, when we're in the mode of passion, we think we become under the modes and we suffer. We suffer the material miseries. If we're in suffering consciousness, it means the mode of passion has been, we've hit the mode of passion. He says, so, anartha parsamam sakshad, bhakti yoga radoksaje, by the process of bhakti yoga, but specifically Vyasadeva mentions that he compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam just so that we can actually take advantage of it. And by hearing that Srimad Bhagavatam, we can become transcendental to these modes. And then in the next verse it says, yasyam vai shruyamanam krishna parama purushe bhakti utpachate pumsha shoka moha bayapaha. By hearing we become free from fear. This is what we're talking about. Fear of our maintenance, fear of competition, like that. We said it the other day in class, I said it actually, that there's one verse in the 11th canto which explains that simply by hearing, then one immediately becomes unenvious of other living entities, at least while we're hearing. So Prabhupada writes here in this, simply by giving all reception to Vedic literature, the feeling for loving devotional service to Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God, it sprouts up at once to extinguish the fire of lamentation, illusion and fearfulness. And Prabhupada, this is a very potent or very applicable purport that he says. As mentioned before, a living entity develops a sort of complexity by material association, and the illusory engagement of the material body is accepted as an actual fact. So, bodily conception. Under such false complexity, the living entity, or the living beings, under different categories of life, become illusioned into different ways. Now, listen to this. Even in the most developed stage of human life, what's that? Vaishnava. Even in the most developed stage of human life, the same illusion prevails in the form of many isms and divides the loving relationship with the Lord, and therefore divides the loving relationship between man and man, or devotee and devotee. By hearing the subject matter, Srimad Bhagavatam, this false complexity of materialism is removed and real peace in society begins. So a very important point. It's mentioned so many times in the Shastra that, you know, what's that? Nectar of instruction, dadadi pratigrinati, goyam akshachaprichti, bhunkti bojayate cheva, sadvidim pridilakshanam. Six processes of the devotees develop that loving relationship. Giving and serving and taking prasadam, giving gifts, receiving gifts. But one which is particularly applicable here, revealing one's mind in confidence and inquiring in confidence. It doesn't mean that it's pss, 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 you know, and we just have, it means this Bhagavatam class is a chance to do that. Prabhupada said in one situation that there's both situations, some things we may want to keep out, but generally this Bhagavatam class should help us to go deep into our, we hear it, but does it get out the anartas? It's just like strokes the anartas and then carries on. Does it actually go in and whoosh, out it comes? Are we thinking deeply enough about what's being said? Are we able to apply it in life? We know we're chanting Hare Krishna, we're getting purified, but, you know, it's watering so many things, the Hare Krishna mantra. And if we have misconceptions of the mode of passion and ignorance in devotional service, they'll get watered as well. And we wonder why we're hearing, or lack of hearing. But if we're hearing, maybe it's going over the top. So we have to actually apply what we're hearing. What's it saying? Just before the seed verses of the Bhagavatam. Jnanam paramam guhyam me. Lord Krishna says to Brahma, O Brahma, I've just given you all the paraphernalia necessary. For now you have, I've given you theoretical knowledge. Now apply it with this paraphernalia I've given you. Then it becomes deep. So we have to be able to apply what we're hearing in our life. This is where we need that. This is where Prabhupada said we have to study these scriptures threadbare, because when threadbare, we actually understand how it's affecting us. What's affecting us, now to deal with it. Otherwise, we're hearing the same thing and it's not really having any effect on us. So, anyway, I've said more or less what I want to say on that. That, you know, I was going into why we see on this platform of the mode of passion. And it's not just that we see different types of Vaishnavas, different, you know, different from different countries. We see differentiations, and we have lack of relationships with other devotees by seeing on that platform. When somebody treats us like a Vaishnav, and they use Vaishnav dealings when they deal with us, like Prabhupada, it was that example, weren't it? Why did they take to this movement? Was it because of the philosophy? Maybe because of the prasadam to some degree. What else? Everybody was so... I've just been reading that book, When the Sun Shines. And all it tells you about all the different devotees who came in England. And they were all, when they saw Prabhupada and reciprocated with him, some of them didn't get much reciprocation, but they could just perceive, this is how I want to surrender to. And so we all have that power to become pure, you know, to work on ourselves, become pure, treat one another in the proper way, and then naturally there's that loving relationship. Naturally we feel like, Guhyam Akyachti Prichati, revealing our minds in confidence. We're able, because of realization, we're able to give people quality knowledge, quality reciprocation. So it's all down to that. You know, the nectar of instruction, I was noting it. There are three verses out of 11 verses. Is it 11 verses? 11 verses, and three of them are alluding to how and what to associate with and who not to associate. Four verses, actually, out of all those. So if we really home in on this, hearing satam prasangam mama virya samvido. Vajanti Ritkarna Rasayanakta Tajyoshnat Ap Apavargavartmani Shraddha Ratir Bhakti Anukramishti. By this hearing in the association of devotees, then the heart becomes purified. Satisfying to the ears, pleasing to the ears, satisfying to the heart. Faith becomes manifest, very deep faith. And then the heart becomes purified. And then one advances on the path of devotional service. And then real bhakti begins, real devotional service. This is a very powerful verse. Lord Kapila is speaking to his mother Devahuti. This is the essence. So we have to see on the Vaishnav platform, we have to see the soul. We don't see differences in devotees. That devotee who we see as being low class or for some reason, whatever we do see, one day, he might be the one who saves us. Okay, so we can stop there. One thing actually I didn't mention is that this envy which comes as a result of the wrong perception and the fear that it brings, fear of position, so we become envious of others. What's a practical way we can overcome that envy of others? Yeah. Just serve those devotees. And more I've thought is like preach to that class of person. When you preach, what have you got to do? First of all, you've got to care about wanting to do something to help that person. You have to care. We can say I don't preach because I don't really care. So preaching means we care. And then what do we have to do to preach? We're not going to always meet what we want to meet. So many difficulties. So what's the next quality we have to imbibe? Eh? Tolerance. That's good, tolerance. And so then we have to be compassionate. To give, even though it's not wanted. Nobody wants devotional service. They do, but they don't know. And that's the difficulty. And what's the last one? We have to do something. We have to get up and do something. And then you know, we'll start to develop, you know, that universal vision. We'll start to see why reciprocating and trying to preach. Well, see, this is actually a person. He's opening up to me. Wow, I think I'm suffering. How much are people suffering out there? But when people make friends, they'll open up, and then you can see what's holding them back, and you can help them. And then we're helping ourselves. Okay, so we can stop there. Gantaraj Sri Chaitanya Chaitamrita Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.